We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages you and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, our Dallas campus takes over our podcast as Mark O'Brien, Scott Green, and Ron Wages have a conversation about attitude and character. Let's listen in.
For joining me. My name's Mark. We're here live with the Gateway Live Facebook for the men. I want to thank Scott and Ron for joining me. We're going to talk a few things today that hopefully will help us all going through life. But the first thing I want to ask you guys, and I appreciate your time, is let me do this. Let me just pray us in right quick. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time. We thank you for technology that we can do this and we can share words over stream. And I appreciate these guys and I appreciate Gateway. And we just honor you and love you and thank you for everything you've provided. So with that, boys, what was your favorite superhero growing up? Scott?
He-Man.
He-Man. Ron? Yeah.
I think Superman. He's pretty Superman. Cool.
any reason why?
He could do anything, man. He was Superman, of course.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. All right, so today we're going to use the example of Batman. You want to guess why we're going to use Batman? He was more in my time, you know, kind of us older guy. But no, Batman was just a human being, right? But he had this really cool tool belt that was equipped with all kinds of neat things that he could do, right? So what I was studying for one day is the bat and the Batman, the B-A-T. So the B is going to stand for your brain and your mind. So we'll talk a little bit about that. The A is going to be your attitude or your character. And T is going to be your tongue, what you speak and how you speak. So I thought, okay, you know, we need some superheroes in the world these days. And what better than Batman, who was a real human, but he used the tools that he got in his bat cave, right, in order to become better equipped. So we're going to kind of talk about, and we're going to end up, and you guys are going to help me, what kind of tools do we need in our tool belt so that we can be superheroes for our family, right? So what's interesting is, you know, what I'd ask you is, you know, what tools do you have? Well, obviously, we're going to formulate that over this next 20, 30 minutes. But we talk about the brain. I've got some interesting side notes here, but your brain is the largest and most complex organ in the human body. So it's made up of more than 100 billion nerves. It can store equal to 2.5 million gigabytes. So some of you guys are going to have to explain that to me, but I think that's a lot, right, Ron?
Yeah, for sure. Gigabytes.
So the question that I'd have is, you know, what do you have stored in your brain? You've got all this storage. And so what do you have in your brain? So let's talk about, you know, growing up and memories, both good and bad, because, you know, what astonishes me is I can be driving down the road, flip on the radio and hear a song from, let's say the 70s or maybe 80s or 90s for you guys. And I hadn't heard this song in years and I can do what? I can sing along with it. I've got all this junk stored in my head. So I'm like, you know, how many times have we sat and watched a movie? Maybe there was a scene that shouldn't have been there. Maybe it was something going on, but what happens to that? It's stored in our memory. And then all of a sudden, we get attacked one day and what happens? They bring that memory back to us. So, you know, movie scenes, songs, different things like that. So, you know, we need to look at who helps shape the way that we think or process things or situations. And, you know, the question I have, can you change the way you think or you process? So Scott, let's start. I mean, kind of growing up, you know, who kind of shaped the way you think and process things?
Well, so you know, not to go down a long road here, but, you know, when I was 6 months old, my biological father left my mother. And so I've always carried this lack of father in my life. Now, I've had a stepfather since I was 5 years old, and he always tried, but I've never really had that. I've always had this hole in my life about, you know, where's my father? Why am I not good enough for him? So with that in mind, I chased after everything that I thought felt great. I wasn't chasing after principles or anything like that. I went after what I thought could fill the God hole that I had, and that hole was left by my father. So growing up, any influence possible, I was, you know, 12 years old, skateboarding with lines shaved in my head, smoking cigarettes, listening to Guns N' Roses, you know, and those were my idols, yeah. You know, the band Poison, you know, they're just chasing after the wrong thing. So I hope that answers your question. Growing up, I never had the role model. All I had was what the world was showing. And if I could get enough chicks, or if I could smoke the right cigarettes, or if I could wear the right shoes, or if I could have the right clothes, if I could listen to the right music, you know, that's what shaped me. What those guys were singing and glorifying, that's what came up into my life.
So basically the world out there is what did it for you. And look at the influence. I hate to say this, but I think the last concert I went with was a Def Leppard and a Poison concert. And yeah, those are the Guns N' Roses. Those are the songs that they start playing. And I somehow remember all the words. Imagine that. Ron, what do you think? I mean, what kind of shaped the way you think and process things these days?
Well, definitely as I was growing up, the world started to shape like what I thought, different ideas about who I thought I was and who I needed to be accepted. Definitely, you know, built and developed my character and what I looked for and what I searched for. Now I would say that I'm mostly shaped by my identity in Christ. And, you know, I've just got some great influences around me. I've got several good mentors, people that are a little bit further down the road that have more knowledge than me, that are kind enough to share with me what they've got. And then I've got some people I'm kind of walking with, like this knucklehead Scott. I walk alongside with him and we bounce off each other's heads and try to figure out what life is. You know, so that's what I got for you, Mark.
No, that's good. So, you know, I had a good father. I mean, he was a great provider. He grew up and you know, I kind of went down that road where, you know, I had some good influences on me. And I think a lot of how I process and think was stimulated from that. Not that I maintained that, you know, going through the college and kind of falling away as a lot of people do. But, you know, when I look back at, you know, how I analyze or how I think and how I process, you know, a lot of that was through him. And, you know, I had a grandfather that used to take me to the farm. And, you know, taught me just how to do a lot of things like that. So, I mean, you know, for me, you know, if we kind of go back and relate it to, you know, some of the tools, and we'll kind of circle back on this. So keep that in mind, you know, some of the tools in my tool belt was, you know, I was privileged enough to have a father that kind of poured into me and a grandfather and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll talk about a little bit more about mentoring. Ron, you kind of brought that up and how important that is, you know, when you didn't have that fatherly figure, you know, even if it was an uncle or brother or whatever. Where did you go to and what formed the way you think and the way you process stuff? And what we really want to dive into is how do you overcome some of that stuff? If the world has trained you and taught you on how to think and how to process stuff, then is that who you are today? Don't answer that just yet. But I want to say, you know, what's happened in your life to overcome that? Because it sounds like, you know, especially Scott with you, I mean, you know, right now, you know, you'd be on the side of the curb somewhere if you continue to think that way, right? So let's move on. So that was the B, that was the brain, the attitude. You got a little bit of information. Let's go on to A, your attitude or your action. So what I wrote down is a way of thinking or feeling maybe about someone or something, but your attitude actually forms your character. And, you know, that's what a lot of people looked at. So, you know, it's kind of the same question, but, you know, who shaped or formed your attitude, or who had kind of an impact, bad or good, on your life, on your attitude? So one of the things I'll kind of throw out and then I'll leave it to you guys is, you know, racism in the world today. I hate to bring that up, but if anybody hadn't watched the message from Tim Ross this weekend, it was phenomenal. But I think a lot of people in this generation, their attitude of racism was formed by maybe their parents or their grandparents or whatever. It might not be really what they think or what they want, but there's that transition. There's that attitude that shaped their character. And so they have to overcome that. Your first reactions is, well, that person did this or that person did that. Well, no, I mean, we got to overcome the way we are trained to think. And so with that, I would say, you know, how is your attitude or your character shaped? And maybe how is it a little different now? I mean, let me emphasize this. As somebody with gray hair, you know, somebody used to cut me off when I was in my 20s or 30s. It wasn't a good scene. I might chase them down. In your 30s, you're kind of like, I ain't going to chase them down, but I might not say the right things. In your 40s and 50s, you're kind of like, okay, whatever. Just don't hit me, right? So, you know, in y'all's attitude and the actions, have you seen that change? And maybe where were you and how bad was it and where are you at now? Ron, you want to go first on that one?
Sure. So I would say that definitely my attitude as a young man was shaped through insecurity and through a lack of identity. And so much attitude was, I'm going to get you before you get me type thing. Like, I'm going to be aggressive with you before you have an opportunity to reject me or to make me feel less than. I'm going to show you that I don't care what you think, you know? And so it really shaped everything within me, and spent the good part of my adult life walking through this very angry, very upset all the time. Just had something to prove and didn't know who I was. And I love what you said about your attitude affecting your character. When you have that type of attitude, you can't have a good character because you don't have the ability to even think about what good character is. And so again, like, I just punt it back to, you know, when I got radically saved in 2015, something shifted. When I started to understand who I was as a son of God, as God's child, really those attitudes started to shift. And in turn, it's affected my character and how I carry myself. I don't think the same anymore. I have a different attitude. I have a new lens of how I see the world. And therefore, it changes the way that I act. Out of knowing who I am, it affects how I act.
Amen. Mr. Graham?
So a lot of similarities between Ron and myself, and if I just step back outside of the box, I just see we're so much alike in so many ways. So, I mean, once again, you know, drugs and alcohol consumed my life, my love for that. That is the only thing that gave me peace, and I pursued that to all the way to the gates of Texas Department of Criminal Justice. And on my way to jail, coming out, you know, fixing a detox hard off of hardcore drugs, I had this peace about me. And it was like the Lord was telling me, hey, so you've done this your way several times over. And I'm going to take you and isolate you for a while, and I'm going to heal you and I'm going to restore you. And from that moment on is when the paradigm shift began to happen. I took a few steps walking towards God, and he just came running at me like a freight train. I was at peace, usefully whole, like I had never been before, behind the razor wires of a prison, than I'd ever been in my entire life. And that's because the daddy issues that I've had as well all my life were filled in by the true father. And like what Ron was sharing, I like to ditto what he's saying. When I found my identity in the blood of Jesus Christ, everything changed.
Yeah.
I'm no longer fighting I'm not only committing crimes just to stay loaded and high and numb to life, but I'm also chosen and accepted, and I don't have to try to convince you of anything anymore. The argument is over. The overcompensating on trying to prove to other people anything, it's done. I don't have a point to prove anymore. And I think that's where the attitude change began to happen. It was an inside job. And it's not like it was one day it happened and I woke up and everything, and I was at total peace. No, it's something I've had to strive for. And there's I have a mentor in my life, and when I got out of prison and I paroled to a sobriety house, and I asked this guy to mentor me, I will never forget it. He was talking about how, you know, Scott, I can always tell my level of serenity by the amount of times I honk my horn in traffic, like what you were saying, Mark.
Yeah.
And I've taken that on, and I don't use my horn unless I absolutely have to. I've probably honked my horn 5 times in the last year. And it's just crazy, because now that I've made a decision that I wasn't going to honk my horn at people anymore, I've realized how much control I feel I have, and how much I have the ability, or this thought of mine, this ego that has to correct other people in their driving. If I'm not using my horn, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
It's pretty slow to get to the green light. So be it. It's not a big deal. And it's little changes like that have happened over time. I didn't just wake up one day and I'm some spiritual saint, you know. Sometimes getting ready in the morning, my wife will make us late for a job or something, and I'm absolutely insane. But I have my times where I make us late too, and I don't see that.
You know, it's good. You know, y'all know I've done a lot of prison ministry, and I've told people I've prayed with a lot of guys in prison that are freer than most of the guys I meet outside the walls. I mean, it's just, you know, I guess they just hit bottom, and they just have this freedom about them, and just peace about them that, you know, you're like, man, I want that. Why can't I have that out here? But no, man, those are great things. And appreciate you sharing that. You know, the T is the tongue. Yeah, I know. That's a tough one. So we speak words, and you know, there's four taste buds in our tongue. Anybody want to guess what those things are? Oh, come on. Everybody likes
words. Yours are sweet, sweet, and sweet.
Yeah, sweet, sour, bitter, and salty. So you know that, you know, what comes out of our mouth, what do they say in the Bible? It comes from what? Comes from our heart. That's right. So, you know, the question that I would have, and both prior to maybe being saved or spirit filled and now, is, you know, what was coming out of your mouth? I mean, you know, I have two daughters, and I look back, I had a long conversation with one of them recently, and you know, you just look back and say, you know, did I really pour into them the way I should have? Did I speak encouragement into them? Did I speak life for them? Or was I challenging them in a negative way? So, you know, I kind of claim to my wife that I have this short-term memory. You know, what I said last week, most guys do what? Well, I don't know. We open that nothing box up in our head, right? And so, you know, but we need to be more cognizant of that. I know, you know, Pastor Robert wrote a book on, you know, the words that we speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so true. And so, you know, the question is, do we think before we speak, or do we just speak? And so, I mean, you know, was anybody speaking into your life, you know, growing up? And then, you know, who's speaking into your life now? I mean, you know, for me, you know, I was fortunate that, you know, my dad and I, you know, probably didn't have that, oh, kumbaya type relationship. We always knew where everybody stood. I always knew that I was loved. I always knew that I was provided for. And, you know, the words were few, but they were usually affirmed. And so, you know, I'm blessed in that. So, but, you know, I got to sit back and look, okay, the guys that maybe I mentor, or the guys that have been around me, or, you know, my wife, or, you know, the people that I'm hanging around, am I speaking encouragement into them, or what am I doing, you know, with my tongue? So, you know, it says this, Scott, you as a father, you know, it says positive words like peace and love can alter the expression of the genes and strengthen our brains. So it's almost like if we speak these things into people, it actually enhances the way they think and the way they see things. So maybe give us a little insight of kind of where you are, or what you're doing, or what do you do now, and where did you come from as far as being encouraged?
So all my life up until the point when I had this moment with the Lord in my most recent incarceration, it's always been, Scott Graham, you're in so much trouble. I can't believe you did this. And, you know, so, but I don't live like that anymore. I'm not creating the damage that I used to. And now the person that speaks the most life into my world now is my beautiful bride. And that is my absolute best friend. It's always an encouraging moment. And she sent for Father's Day when I was incarcerated. She sent me that book, The Power of Your Words. And I've read that. What a great read that is. But, and it's so true today. So I mentor a lot of guys, and a lot of men cross my path through prison ministry and through, you know, through the recovery world and things like that. And most people are just seeking direction and encouragement because we're so full of everything going on inside of our minds, just clear cut direction. So there's a guy that I was having a meal with last week, and he was reaching out to a mentor, and the mentor wanted him to meet him at a certain place at 6:30 a.m. And on the phone, I'm sitting in front of this guy, and he's saying, you know, man, I don't know if I can make it. He hung up the phone, and I looked at him dead in his eyes and said, man, whatever it takes, you got to be there.
Yeah.
Because that's God telling you what the next step is. Sometimes we're just so blind as to what the next step is. We miss the mark. And you know, Mark, when I first got out of prison, you were first introduced into my life by Pastor Landon. And I can tell you that yourself and your wife and your whole walk, you've been an encouragement to myself and my bride this whole time. And I don't know if you know that or not, but you have. Every time I've encountered you, it's always, you're always building up. You're never tearing down. And I love that, because whether you know it or not, you're probably a big part of this, you know, of God working through you into my life. Because when I met you, I was trying to put a business together, and I just got out of prison, you know, and things just weren't looking good yet. And had I not had the encouragement of the people I surrounded myself with, I wouldn't be where I'm at. And I thank God for you. And I thank God for what you're doing through Gateway Church. So thank you.
Mr. Ron.
So, man, words. When I was out running the streets in my addiction, Just used to speak death over myself all the time. You know, F my life was my favorite line. Like, I'd just be exasperated. Oh, F my life, F my life, F my life, like all day long. And when I went to jail this last time and got set on fire, God showed me the environment that created, just the constant speaking that over myself. And I really had a revelation about what it means to speak life over myself. And so once I started doing that, then God started opening my heart to speaking life over those that are around me. And I was at a breakfast this morning talking with some folks about this, and they were like, Ron, we can't imagine you not speaking life over people. You're such a life giver, like, in your words. And so I know that the enemy always comes to take where we're strong and make us weak, or to twist it for his use. So our words are powerful. And, you know, God's given me a gift of using my words to build people up. But they also can be used to bring about destruction. They can be used to bring about strife and confusion. And, you know, they can be an expression of anger or an expression of life. And so I think a lot more before I speak. And I really just try to filter things through, you know, is this Christ? Have I taken this thought captive to the obedience of Christ? And what I'm about to express, is this something that's going to give life to those that are around me? Or is this something that's just death waiting to take over? So.
Yeah, that's so good, guys. I appreciate y'all opening up and sharing like that. So those are the three things, that the brain, the attitude, the action, the tongue. So now, you know, as Batman, he had that really cool belt with gadgets and stuff like that. So we've kind of hit on this stuff, but I want to reconvene and relook at some of the stuff that, you know, it says in Ephesians 6 that to put on the full armor of God. So, you know, before you go into battle, you need to put the full armor on. Batman never went into battle without what? Without full armor, without all of this stuff. So, you know, I kind of wrote down some stuff, but I'm going to ask you guys kind of, you know, what are some of the things that you think were premier or the things that really affected you, and the things that you shouldn't wake up and not put on each day? Does that make sense? So, I mean, you know, I know you know, you can talk about the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation and all the different stuff in there, but I'm talking about, you know, we mentioned mentors. Okay, you know, what are some of the strongest things in your life? And for guys out there, if they really want to get on track, if they're dealing with stuff that y'all walked through, if they're dealing through, you know, financial stuff that I walked through, you know, I went through a divorce and almost lost my job, and pay got cut by half, and you know, I had to sit back and become very, very humble and let God take control of my finances, because Mark thought he could do it all, and obviously that didn't work. And, you know, y'all have seen in my life, you know, I'm so blessed, you know, and every day, but it's all because of him. But I mean, you know, for me, it was kind of letting control, getting involved, you know, with the men's group, getting involved in prayer, learning how to pray. We were talking about this with guys the other day. It's one thing just to pray, but just being around other guys that pray, it kind of rubs off on you. But I mean, and praying in your household. You know, are you praying for your kids? Are you praying with your wife? Are you praying every day? Basically, all it's saying, are you talking to God? So, you know, if you're doing those kind of deals, you know, some other stuff, you know, getting involved in a men's group. I mean, you know, for Gateway, we have what, text 7-10-10 groups, and we'll get you plugged in. I was listening on a group this morning with 16 guys. We had a guy that logged in from Mexico for the first time, because he's been watching Pastor Robert and said, I need to get plugged in with some of those guys. So we're on a Zoom call this morning, a Promise Principal view at 7 a.m. with a guy from Mexico that just showed up. I mean, how cool is that? Because he texted 7-10-10 and got connected. So what are some of the other deals? I mean, what are some of the tools that you can't really go without, or that's really helped you kind of strengthen your walk? Ron?
I'll go first. So worship has been where so many of my battles have been fought and won, and where God speaks to me, and even exercise. You know, this morning I finally went out and jogged. I haven't jogged in a couple of weeks, but God always speaks to me when I'm at the end of my physical self. And when I'm just out there, I'm just distraction free. So it's really just about finding like, where do you have great conversation with the Lord, and just staying in that place, going back to the well, going back to him, you know, being intentional about spending time with him. That's been the thing that has really helped me the most, Mark.
Yeah. Scott, what do you want to add to that?
I mean, worship for sure. For sure. I mean, worship, the lyrics to the worship, the praise and worship music, just really, that resonates within me, and it just is total connection. But the other part is community. It's community, getting plugged in, becoming a member of whatever church, becoming a member of Gateway, and then getting involved and getting active in my home campus. I mean, that's where I get into relationship. That's how I met Ron. That's how I met you. That's how I met several of the other people that are in my life. And I've got a circle of influence that builds me up, because, you know, I've heard this a long time ago, that I'm the average of the company I keep. And I want to be around godly, Christ-centered men that know how to treat their wives, that know how to serve their wives, and know how to manage money and run businesses, and just love on each other and be transparent, because that's important to me. So,
yeah, no, that's so good. I mean, I wrote down, get involved in a Bible-based church. I mean, obviously something like Gateway, you know, pray, talk to God, surround yourself with other men doing what? Seeking God, not just other men, but other men that seeking God, not the ones that are telling the jokes, you know, on the side and talking about their wife or any of that. It's exactly what you said, Scott. You want to get around God, other godly men that are seeking God, you know, read, but don't just read the Bible, but it says to do what? Meditate on it. So just, you know, dissect it and read it. And you know, it's one thing, you know, I try to read a Proverbs every day. You know, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, so it's real easy just to read Proverbs for that day. But are you reading it? Are you really dissecting and reading the word? Say, okay, what is God saying to me? Just like what you're saying, Ron, when you go on a jog. You know, when you go do that, it's not just physical, it's spiritual. You're saying, God, speak to me while I'm out doing this stuff. You know, serving is so important. And, you know, I appreciate all what you guys do. It's incredible what you serve, but the way you serve. But let's not wrap up without providing some Bible verses. Obviously, you know, I wrote down a few when we're talking about our mind. It says, changing the way you think changes your perspective, which changes how you act in the world. Matthew 4:17. So Jesus challenged people to change the way they think, regardless of how they were brought up. So you guys are sitting here as proven examples that it doesn't matter what the influences were, positive or negative, as you grew up, you can do what? You can change the way you think. You can change your perspective. You can change the outcome that you think. You know, when Ron's walking around saying that stuff, hopefully he didn't have a shirt that said that. But I mean, look at him now. You know, he's one of the happiest, fun-loving people that you want to be around. And here, you know, however many years ago, he was cursing himself. So, I mean, you know, obviously the power of God is just so incredible. But the tools that you have to do that, you can't get up each day and not get dressed. You can't get up each day and not put on the full armor of God. So the point being that I think we want to get across is you got to control, you know, what goes into your mind. You can change what comes out of it. You got to control your attitude. You don't react. You want to act in a positive kind of way, and you can change the way you act. You can, just like Scott was saying with the car. Hey, I'm not going to honk my horn. I don't care what they do. I'm not going to, but it has an effect on you, right? Over time. I'm going to ask Tavi if that's really true or not. Well, you know, but that's okay. And the tongue. I mean, Ron, you said you got to think before you do what? You got to think before you speak. I mean, If there's anything that you take away for this, if everybody would just count to three before they say anything and said, is that going to be a positive influence? Is that going to be something to encourage me? Or is that going to be a detriment? How's it going to be received? And as y'all know, a lot of times when we say stuff, just like text, how many times you got a text and you said, well, you take it one way, but they really meant it the other way. So you got to really look at how you present stuff and how they do that. So, man, guys, we are already like 28 minutes into this deal, so we probably could talk for another hour or so. But you know, there's tons of the scripture out there that will support, you know, talking about your words and talking about your attitude and talking about your brain. I challenge each of you guys to Google that and go read those scriptures. We had a bunch, but we won't cover it. So, Ron, I'm going to ask you just to kind of cover us in prayer and pray us out. And we're so thankful for you and you being part of our life.
All right. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for what you're trying to show us in how we think and how we speak and how we behave and the attitudes that we have and how those can bring honor and glory to you. Father, I just pray over each man that is watching this stream, Lord, that you will just watch over them and protect them and their families during this season, that you would strengthen them, Lord, and that you would speak to them and give them ears to hear what you're saying. And Lord, we just thank you and we bless you in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with the new episodes. And if you want to stay connected with everything we're doing as a ministry, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.